Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Now that I've been born again, I can't live in sin.
Welcome to Walk in the Blessing, the media outreach of William McDuffie Ministries. Let's join our pastor and teacher, William J. McDuffie.
But sometimes the soul is at a way different level. So that's why we come to church. So that our souls can get caught up with the Spirit. Jesus said in John 6 and 63, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, that he has given us pastors after his own heart to feed us on knowledge and understanding. Now, I'm born again, but spiritually, the moment you got saved, I got saved, spiritually, we were dum-dums. We were born again, but we didn't know. We didn't know how to walk this thing out. So, and then sometimes if you're not in a church that explains this process to you, you got saved, you know you were saved, you were excited, man, you went back home and for about 48 hours you were on this high, and then about the 72nd hour, you cussed somebody out. You didn't mean it. Yeah, you did. You meant it. Yes, you did. Yeah, you meant to say it just like you said it. You meant it. You meant it. You meant it for both him and the horse he rode in. You meant it. Now, why did you do that? Is it because you're not saved? No, you're saved. You're born from above. But your thinking hasn't changed, so your behavior hasn't changed. That's why, even though you're saved, you still might drink a little or a lot. But you say you're born from above. Before you got saved, anything that was moving. I'm going to keep it up for the, keep it at the PG. Okay. Anything that was moving. You stuck anything that was moving. You lived a life of sticking and moving. You with me? Right? You lived that life. Don't look at me like you never lived that life. You lived that life. Even if you grew up in church. You, not everybody, but a lot of folks. Man, I'll be honest with you. I've seen more sticking and moving in the church than the club. I'm just telling the truth. I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm just telling the truth. Just telling the absolute truth. I know we know it's wrong. I said, I know we know it's wrong. But how many people know that knowing wrong and believing something's wrong is not the same thing? Of course we knew it was wrong. That's why we hid it. That's why we say, hey, psst, come over here. Because we knew we were wrong. Oh, you're going to be sanctimonious on me today. Pastor, I don't know what that which you speak of today. I do not understand. You know what I'm talking about. Now, why did you still do that thing? You were saved. Now, this is the difference. You did it previous to this, and there was no condemnation, no nothing. But after you got saved, you came under pressure and you did it. But you felt horrible. You couldn't understand, what is this thing? I just can't do wrong like I used to do wrong. That's because your spirit cannot accept that it's been born from above. But if you let this, now he's just representing the soul. But if you let this joke of the soul, he will intellectualize you into doing it again. Come on. Oh, he's a dangerous man if you give him a little bit of the word, because between him and Satan, they mess you up, man. God knows you only human. You got needs and you only human. And then if they got a twisted version of the grace message, the grace of God himself, if they got it wrong, then they think that they are justified in doing this thing. Because maybe they grew up in an environment where everybody that they thought was saved lived like that. You know, that old smoking deacon. That old drinking deacon. You know, old Reverend Pressure back from Big Bethel days when you went to Big Bethel. When you went to Greater Mount Shake-A-Lot. You know, Reverend Pressure was there, and Reverend Pressure had a pack of cools up in his pocket. And he would preach. I don't mean to take this away from anybody, but I'm African American, so I only know the African American experience. I need somebody to teach me the other experiences. But the African American experiences, he got a cool in his pocket, but oh Lord, have mercy today. He got cools in his pocket and got condoms in his wallet. And will preach. And know good and well that Sister Mary Lou on the third row, he knows her in ways that he should never have known her. And come the service, church after service, after church service, after church. I know y'all don't know nothing about this, so I'm just kind of warning you. Just live that way, because there's a mindset that people grasp on that as long as their spirit is right, they can do whatever they want with their body. Now, listen to me. Everybody look at me. Because I know that you know that I know that you know that I know that you know that that's wrong. But I know that you know that I know that you know that I know you don't believe it's wrong. You say no, but the fact of the matter is, if we put too much pressure now, you'll cuss a joker out. We will walk this holiness out. But if he's too fine, if she got it going on, that comes from an unrenewed mind. Everybody look at me. God, with your permission, can cause you to be born again. He causes it in your spirit, but he cannot renew your mind. And he cannot control your body. He cannot, because he has deemed it as such. But according to the word, God wants us sanctified completely. I know how that looks like. Well, God's going to do the sanctifying. Well, yes, but this is how. You're born again in your spirit. He gives you pastors after his own heart to feed your the foolishness that's in your mind. Get that foolishness out. And his whole idea is now to get your soul in line with your spirit. So now you're not just holy in your spirit, you're holy in your thinking. Even when inappropriate thoughts come, you are in the place that you cast down those, because you've learned how to cast them down, because you come to church. There's some stuff, beloved, you cannot learn in your own private Bible study in your living room. You listen, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them as those who watch over your soul. In other words, the leaders we have watch over our souls. Leaders don't watch over your spirit, watch over your soul. What does it mean, watch over your soul? They watch over your thinking, your feeling, and your choices. And they watch over and teach you the word so that your spirit is filled with the word and you can do the things that are appropriate and holy. In other words, the purpose of the blood of the Lamb is to bring us to a place of complete holiness, not partial holiness. Now, when we first get born again, it's a process of renewing the mind. And God knows that. And he knows how much time you need to get there. That's why we got to work this and study the word and know God's word and expose ourselves to people who live this appropriately so that we can grow up spiritually. Because when my thinking and my feelings and my choices are in the right perspective, then my body will do what I tell it to do. My body may want to watch something, but because I know it's not appropriate to watch, I will make the appropriate choice. God doesn't make that choice for me. Gabriel is not dispatched from heaven to make a choice for me. God does not and cannot make that choice for me. Only I can make the choice. You can't make it for me. My wife can't make it for me. Bishop Peoples can't make it for me. Only William J. McDuffie can make the right choices for William J. McDuffie. And those choices are so sacrosanct that I will be brought into the judgment based on those choices. But I'm the only one who can make those choices. Y'all with me? Oh, yeah, the light's starting to come on. See, it isn't God. It isn't God. Well, the Lord didn't want me to cuss him out. He wouldn't have brought him my way because he know I can't stand folk like that. No, no, no. You cussed him out because you made a choice based on jacked up thinking that you can treat people that way. But if you're born again, I said if you're saved, you felt bad after you did it. Now, you might not have been mature enough to apologize, but you felt bad. I know I'm right. I got to be. If you're born again. Now, this is the thing. You cuss somebody out, you don't feel bad, you ain't saved. You're not even saved. You're not even saved. Unsaved, completely unsaved, on your way to hell. Because you cannot do that. I can't show you everything, but there's scriptures I can prove to you. Okay, it's not what I wanted to do, but let's go ahead and do it. Give me 1 John chapter 3. Everyone who has this hope fixed on Christ purifies himself. To what standard of purification? Just as he, Jesus, is pure. Y'all see what the Bible says? Okay, now, does that mean he purifies himself spiritually? No, he can't. Jesus had to do that. The blood had to do that. But now the blood does something else. It empowers him now to purify himself. Y'all see what the scripture says? All right. Did y'all see? He purifies himself. You see it? Show them the King James because they're looking at me like I'm making this up. Show them the King James. He purifieth. That you feel better? He purifieth himself. All right. Even as he is pure. Go back to the NASB. Next verse. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and lawlessness is sin. Next verse. We know that Jesus appeared in order to take away sins. He did. He appeared to take away sins. And in him, in Christ, there is no sin. In Christ, there is no sin. Next verse. No one who abides in him sins. Now, before you get nervous, this word in the Greek means practices sin. It doesn't mean the person who abides in him doesn't ever miss it. It means they do not practice regularly sinning. It's not possible. Y'all see, no one who abides in him sins. Now, this is the same Apostle John who wrote about the love of God. Y'all looking at this like I am making this up. Okay. No one who abides in him regularly sins, habitually sins. No one who regularly practices sin has seen or knows him. Next. Little children, make sure nobody deceives you. Don't let anybody trick you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he, Christ, is righteous. The one who practices righteousness is righteous. Now, the practicing of righteousness doesn't make him righteous. But because he has been made righteous, he's now empowered to practice righteousness. In the Old Testament, to be righteous, you had to do works of righteousness. In the New Testament, because you have been made righteous, you have the power to act righteously. You see the difference? So doing righteousness doesn't make you righteous. Being made righteous gives you the power to live righteously. Okay, next verse. The one who practices sin is of the devil. The one who practices sin is of the devil. The one who practices sin is of the whom? The devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Next verse. No one who is born of God practices sin because his seed, this is the word we showed you a few weeks ago, the word seed here is the word sperma, because his sperm is in him and he cannot sin or practice sin because he is born of God. That's why when you got saved and you sinned afterwards, you felt incomplete. You knew it was wrong because you had been born of God and the God in you would not accept that behavior. Make sense? All right. Next verse. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. This is not really difficult stuff. Okay? You got it? I said, do you have it? I know it's tight. I know it's tough. But this is the standard, baby. This is the standard. The standard is, yeah, there's a period where he works with you. He knows we need to improve. But he didn't intend us to just live La Vida Loca our entire time on the planet. He fully intends for us, now that we've been made righteous and washed in the blood of the Lamb, for now our conduct to be in line with who he made us. So I can't keep calling myself a Christian and I'm shacking up with Miss Miller. That was her maiden name. Me and Miss Miller, you know, we just live together because we broke. We both left our spouses and neither one of us can afford a divorce. So we just move in together. And we act like we married in every sense of the word. But we go to church. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm hallelujahing my way to hell if I stay in that. I'm not budging from that. I don't care who say what. I know I got the word on this. This grace has an end, and the end state is for us to be holy, spirit, soul, and body. Yes? No? Y'all don't believe it? Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. All right. Now let's go to Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Now, remember, chapter 5 talks about the grace of God, what Jesus did for us spiritually, what he did for us, and made provisions for our souls and our bodies. Yes, he did. He made provision for our spirit, soul, and body. But he can only affect the change in my spirit. He can lead, encourage, and guide me in the soul. But I must ultimately make the decision. Jason, am I telling the truth? Okay. I know why they're looking at me like this. Because I'm taking away their excuses. Don't tell me I'm not saved. Jesus did it all. I know what Jesus did. I know what Jesus did at the cross. I know you staggering, smell like five-day-old gin. I know what Jesus, I know. Seem like if you knew, you would purify yourself even as he is pure. In other words, if Jesus didn't take it to the head, I can't take it to the head. If Jesus didn't have a little on the side, I can't have a little on the side. Jesus didn't cuss folks out. I can't cuss folks. Because the standard of purity is Jesus. And you can't find nowhere in the Bible where he cussed folks out, jumped on a Pharisee, pimp slapped a Sadducee. Can't find that nowhere in the Bible. So I can't jump on folks, slap folks, intimidate folks. They don't want to hear it. All right. All right. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then in regards to this grace? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. In other words, are you crazy? Listen. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Now, some of y'all don't need this message. I know you got it. But some people need this because the devil has deceived them into believing that Jesus did it all. And he did do all the part I couldn't do. But this part I can do. Now that I've been born again, I can't live in sin. This is important. I'm taking away the lie the devil's given you. So now you can overcome it. Because let me tell you why he does this. He does this to keep you in this thing called guilt. And he controls you based on guilt. But when you get this and understand that all I got to do is confess this thing and renew my mind, he no longer has anything over me. Now I've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony, because the word of my testimony is going to be consistent with my behavior. Yes? All right. All right. Okay. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You see that? Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin may be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. There is no can't help it, because we're not to be slaves to sin. I didn't know this was in the Bible. Changed my whole life. Because I was doing stuff and I was under impression, you know, hey, we're human. We all sin. I can't knock this off. How am I going to knock this off? I live in the earth. I was a spiritual dum-dum. It was right here in the Word. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified in order that our body of sin may be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Now, having said all that, look at verse 11. Everybody look at verse 11. Even so, what does even so mean? Just like Christ, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Verse 12 is where I wanted to get. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. You got that, son? Do not let sin reign in your body. Do not let sin. That means that's a choice. So the grace of God, the blood of Jesus, washed me, yes, but now has empowered me to make the proper choices. I know this ain't a shouting message, but it's going to make you live a life. Help you live a life, you can shout for real. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. Next verse. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Stop taking and letting your body be an instrument of sexual immorality. Don't let your body be an instrument of alcoholism or drug abuse. Don't let your body be an instrument of foul living. No, that's not the plan of God. The whole reason that Jesus saved you was so that you would knock that stuff off, and now you have the power to do just that. Are you with me? But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Next verse. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. I don't know if you saw that. Because we're under grace, we have the power to make our bodies instruments of righteousness and not allow sin to reign in our lives. So, the concept then is not correct for us to believe that as long as I'm born again, I can do whatever I want with my body. Because the Bible clearly says that my body is not supposed to be an instrument of sin. Got it? Okay, Colossians chapter 3. Let's see how consistent that is through Scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. All right. I told you I don't like that word immorality because it can mean a lot of different things. Show me the King James and you'll see what it is. Fornication. Sexual impurity. You see that? The King James says mortify. Mortify or kill. Deaden the members of your body. Doesn't mean kill yourself. That's not what it's saying. It says, remember Paul said that when we were crucified with Christ, we were dead to sin. He's saying basically, keep yourself in remembrance that you're dead. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. All right, go back to the NASB. I just wanted people to see that. So he says, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Okay. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 15. We're going to go all the way to verse 20. Verse 15. Let's see what it says. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh. Next. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Next. Flee immorality. Okay, keep that verse there. Just give me the King James, because again, I want to make this clear. Flee fornication. All right, go back to NASB. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the sin of fornication, he sins against his own body. Say body. Okay, next verse. Or do you not know that your body, this is where I wanted to get. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Everybody look at me, because we think in terms of our body, of our spirits being the place where the Holy Spirit is. But the Bible says not only is your spirit that place, but your spirit's inside your body. Therefore, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the idea that we're washed in the blood is not only to be spiritual, but I'm washed in the blood spiritually, but I keep renewing my mind to the point that my behavior now is consistent. Now, when we're talking about the Spirit, y'all were on your feet and yelling. All your sins forgiven, you were yelling and screaming. Now we talk about the part we're supposed to do, and y'all just looking at me. Yeah. But it's the part. It's the requirement. So in other words, what Jesus did was by doing only what he could do by the shedding of his own blood, made me whole spiritually. Now I have been empowered by his grace. Another translation of the word grace is ability. I have now the ability of God to live in this sinful world without sinning. Say amen.
Amen.
But now what happens if, because I can't leave you here, what happens if I sin? Now I'm going to tell you this right now. Since I first made Jesus the Lord of my life, I've sinned a lot. I have. I've missed it many times. Missed it many times. I know you're looking at me, you know, poor me. Just keep praying for me, because I know you never missed it from the time you got born again. You ain't missed it a day. That's like you're looking at me like, poor pastor. Should have got a hold of what I got a hold of. That old-time religion. Now, that old-time religion, you're a lie. Now, what happens if I sin? Come over here to 1 John, chapter 1, verse 9. First word is what? What does if mean? It's a condition. It's not automatic. It's not something that's a far gone conclusion. It says if we confess our sins, he's faithful. If we confess it, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of some unrighteousness. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and righteous to forgive me. Amen?
Amen.
All right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. I'm writing this whole thing to you so that you don't sin. But I thought we're human and we all have to sin. I'm writing this to you so that you don't sin. And if anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father. Now, what does he have to do to get this advocation with the Father? He's got to confess it. In other words, he's got to take responsibility, recognize that it's sin. And this part of his confession is also a repentance, changing in the way that he thinks so that he does not do it. Can't practice this thing, right? You got it? Now, why is this all important? Now, let me tell you why it's all important, because I want you to see this. Because I said this earlier, that as long as I allow my members of my body to dictate what is right, what is wrong, then the devil will always maintain a righteous cause, so to speak, when he accuses me before God. Not that God is listening to him. That's not the point. But I can hear what he's saying, and he's telling me I'm not even saved. He's telling me that I'm not right. He's telling me that I missed it. He's telling me all those things. And because I continue in this thing, the more I do it, the more what he says makes sense. However, when I make up in my mind, I'm not living this way anymore. I'm not living this way another day. Father, I confess before you right now that this is sin. I know that it's sin. And I believe according to your word that because I've confessed it, that Jesus, my advocate, is now before you pleading my case. And not only that, I have been cleansed of all unrighteousness. Now, the moment I do that, I am sinless. And that's the requirement. Is to be sinless.
Well, my beloved partner, that's it for this teaching session. Did you get something out of this message? I pray that you did. I count it a distinct privilege and an honor to call you friend, and I look forward to hearing from you, so write me. Yvette and I love you dearly, and we pray for you constantly. Until next time, this is Pastor William McDuffie reminding you that Jesus is Lord, so you ought to walk in the blessing.
You've been listening to Walk in the Blessing, the media outreach of William McDuffie Ministries. Thank you for your generous financial contribution. It is because of you, our covenant partner, that we are reaching people around the world for Jesus Christ. We would like to extend to you another opportunity to sow into this ministry, which is indeed good ground. If you would like to sow a tax-deductible contribution, please write us at William McDuffie Ministries, P.O. Box 2368. Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85636-2368. That's William McDuffie Ministries, P.O. Box 2368, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85636-2368. And as always, walk in the blessing. Keep on walking.